Hey, AfterBuzz TV, my name is Lauren LaGrasso, and I'm excited because I have an amazing guest for you. I'm here with model, actress, producer, and singer Gwendolyn Osborne-Smith. Stay tuned for some fun.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz
begin. I know, right?
Oh, yeah. Got a little Etta James playing in the stew. We're shimmying a little bit.
Yes, baby.
As I said, I'm here with Gwendolyn Osborne-Smith, the multi-hyphenate, incredible woman. She's a model, actress, producer, singer, mother of five.
Yes.
You're incredible. You look like you're 19, so I want to know what you do to your skin. But we will get to that, because I like to start at the very beginning.
Okay.
So you grew up overseas.
I'm just living off the multi-hyphenate right
you're
now.
You're living off the multi-hyphenate.
You've added to my description, and I'm just feeling it. So,
I'm so glad. We're vibing on the multi-hyphenate. Well, you truly are.
Thank you.
So you grew up overseas in England, correct?
Yes. I actually grew up between England and Miami.
Wow. How did that happen?
Well, you know, divorces between parents usually end up with people in two different homes, usually maybe somewhere in the same city or state, but mine became between two countries. So I ended up going between England and Miami my whole life.
Wow. So yeah. Which parent was in England and which parent was in Miami?
My dad was in England and my mom was in Miami. And my mother's Jamaican.
Wow.
Yes. And there's a lot of other Jamaicans in Miami.
So that's good. No, it is. It's good to have a community because it's overwhelming if you don't know anyone moving to a new country, I would assume. It was overwhelming moving here, but I can only imagine a new country.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I did it both times as a child. I mean, I guess three times, you know, and every single time it was a major, you know, rediscovery of who I am and how do I fit in, you know?
Right. So your mom was in Miami. Dad was over in England.
Mm-hmm.
How did you split up the time?
Well, the courts did that. So I would so when I was in Miami with my mother for a period of time, it was the holidays were with my dad.
Okay.
And then when I turned 10, then it was the other way around. And they basically was holidays with my mother in Miami. And so my summers and Christmases were always in Miami.
Wow.
So bad.
It's the opposite of how most people have it, but I guess, it's nice to be in the sun.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I loved it. No, I'm totally joking. It was amazing. You know, most people in England are going to somewhere in Europe, you know, which is fantastic too.
Right.
I actually missed out a lot of going to Europe because I was always going to Miami.
Right.
So I'm making up for that now. Like, I love to travel and I'm always trying to go to another place that I haven't seen. But yeah, Miami was always a big part of my life.
Now, are you an only child or are there kids in your family?
No, I'm the youngest of three.
Youngest of three.
Yes.
So at what point during this time period did you decide you wanted to be an entertainer? And do you feel like your parents' separation and like literally living in different cities influenced that at all?
I would say that I came out of the womb singing tomorrow,
my favorite, Annie.
And I bothered my brother and sister to no end because I would not stop singing, you know, so that I've always been loving, you know, performing. And my sister, who is 10 years older than me, she was a dancer and she was a performing artist. She went to Italia Conti in London, which is a major performing arts school. And so she would always, you know, I just loved her. I mean, I still love her so much. And so
I loved her then.
Yeah, I loved her then, not now. But no, she was a major influence for me. And I just continued along the same path she did and just did way more with it. You know,
right.
I just really felt it. And now my 5-year-old does not stop singing and dancing around the house. And so now I get why it was bothering my brother and sister when I was young.
Sure. But when you got to sing, you got to sing.
You just have to do it.
Yeah.
You just have to. You feel it, you know. So, and then when we're in the car and she's singing away and she starts ad-libbing and adding her own little thing, I love it. I'm just sitting in the front driving, just smiling. She can't see me, but I'm just like, yes, girl, get it.
So if she wants to be a performer, how are you going to react to that and how will you advise her?
Well, she would, you know, I have an older daughter who is already an actress and she, you know, I coach her. I have to leave here and actually go coach her for something when we leave. But I will be very positive about it and very careful.
Mm-hmm.
I have always, you know, with Monique, the older one, I've always guided her to make decisions about her career and in an empowering type of way, and understand that it is her career and that she does not have to go on every single audition just because it seems like an opportunity. pick and choose and figure out what is what you want to do. What do you want to represent as an actress? And just look at it as a whole. So, I mean, of course, you know, London's only five. I can't tell her that.
Oh, her name's London. I love
yes.
that.
To remind me of where I'm from.
You yeah, know. Important.
Yeah, I will do the same, you know, as she gets older, and I'll just, you know, keep it age appropriate, you know, that's all.
Yeah. I love what you just said about not going on every audition and taking every opportunity, because that's definitely something I haven't been able to do. Like, I feel like I haven't been able to wrap my head around that. And I was wondering if when you were younger and starting to build your career, were you able to give yourself that mentality and realize that you were enough and that you could tread your own path? Or did you
Absolutely
take every
not.
Opportunity? No.
Absolutely not. No. I have definitely learned, you know, a lot of the stuff the hard way, you mm-hmm. know? And so when it came time for me to now see my daughter and watch how it could happen.
Right.
And, you know, not have her make the same decisions and mistakes that I made, now it seems more clear to me, you
right.
know? So, no, I did not know I was enough. And it's funny, you saw that, you know, that's the phrase I use. My stepdaughter, Kayla, is 24. She's a recording artist. She's about to go on tour. Wow. Right now, and I give her advice as well, and the one thing I tell them is, before you go into the audition, you are enough.
Mm-hmm.
I call them, I text them, I let them know, mm-hmm. like, you are enough. You know, just know that there is nobody else like you in this world. There will never be. Doesn't matter how much they look like you, because you know,
oh,
when
yeah.
you go in those audition rooms, there's like so many different versions of you.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is funny, you know, but there will never be another you, you know?
Right.
There's never another girl in that room that's had what I've just told you about in my life, that's been between Miami and England and Jamaica and all these things, you know?
Certainly not. But it's so hard because this industry at many times does make you feel like you're replaceable.
It absolutely does. Absolutely.
And so, like, what's an example of that and the lesson you learned from it and, like, and how you approach things now? Like, how did you come to that realization?
I just think over time... I just think over time, and also my husband, Kenny Smith, has mm-hmm. been very supportive of me as like a person to say, you know, you are enough. You know, there isn't anybody else like you, and just keep believing, mm-hmm. you know. I also spoke to, I don't know his last name, but his name's Philip, and he is in Bruno Mars.
Oh, okay.
He's basically Bruno's right hand, you know, and we had a conversation one day because his son goes to the same school as my son. And he said, the hardest part, Gwendolyn, is the moments when nobody sees you,
mm-hmm.
you know, to continue to keep believing in yourself.
Because and you mean when no one sees you for who you are?
For who you are and your abilities, you
right.
know? Because you know you're talented mm-hmm. and you're sitting here like, I am, I can sing, I can act. But then you're like not going out or, you know, you don't have the right agent or whatever it may be. And it's, you got to continue to believe in yourself and continue working on yourself.
Right.
And, you know, when he told me that, I was like, wow, because here I am talking to somebody who's in, I guess, the most successful band in the world right now. And, you know, we're similar age. I know his story. I know what he's done. And I'm like, I can really respect that, you know, that you did that, because I can see your outcome to it now.
Mm-hmm.
And he is on top of the world. I'm telling you that they are on top of the world. The fact that they can bring back the 90s and all of that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, they're a total throwback, but they do it in their own way.
Exactly.
I want to get back to your trajectory and your track. So you're going between Miami and London.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like when you're like 10, in your preteens, basically.
I first went to America when I was 6.
When you were 6.
Yes.
Okay. So at this time, were you performing a lot? Like, how was that working out? Were you doing community theater?
I was in Bath. I was doing theater, you know, it's like there's one theater there.
Right.
and I'd been dancing since I was 3. I still keep one of my little ballet slippers.
Mm-hmm.
When I came to Miami, my mom knew I still wanted to continue. It's just always been a part of me. I went to performing arts school there mm-hmm. and in Perrine.
Ooh.
Perrine Elementary. And I had to audition in order, and I played the recorder, which was an odd thing to do
yes.
over here. But in England, everybody plays the recorder.
Well, we learned it in fourth grade. That was our big thing. In fourth grade, you learn a recorder. You learn Mary Had a Little Lamb on the recorder.
Yes.
And that
yeah.
was the hot jam. But you found found a way to make the recorder so jazzy that they let you into this performing arts school.
Right.
What did you do with this recorder?
I wish I could remember what song I played on there, but it was obviously something English and sounded, yeah, you know, different.
The English recorder.
Yes. And I mean, I had to sing and I played the piano as well. So, you know, they want to make sure that you can do it all. And I had to dance.
Right. Okay. Didn't just play the recorder.
No,
but that was a fun add-on.
Yes.
Okay.
And I ended up playing the cello. And then I became a part of the Miami Youth Orchestra. And I loved doing that. So, you know, I just constantly stayed in the arts. I've never not done it. When I went back to England at 10 years old, I continued with the cello. Right. I got right back into dance classes, and that was my time. You know, I just would go off to dance and I would stay there all day long. That's mm-hmm. all, you know, just loved being in the studio dancing. And, you know, I just continued. I had a dream from a very young age, I guess about 12. Richard Branson, the owner of Virgin Atlantic at the time, now Virgin America as well, opened up a school called the Brit Recording School. It's called the British Recording Industry Technology School. Just call it a Brit School in Croydon. And I was like, that's where I'm going. That is exactly where I need to be. And I did. At 15 years old, I went again and I auditioned again. And, you know, that I didn't play the recorder for.
That would have been amazing if you did. You have to find a way to incorporate that into one of your upcoming projects.
Okay, just get it out.
Do you
out.
Think you can still get on it? And
oh, yeah. Absolutely can. Because my 9-year-old in fourth grade, he got the recorder and he was like, I don't know how to play this. And I was like, I do.
Let me show you how it's done, son.
So I have. I've shown them how I can do it. And then I started really, like, really remembering how to play it. And so
right.
It's like, you guys can do this, you know. And he's just like, yeah, okay. Where's the basketball?
Who needs a basketball when you have a recorder? It's amazing. So, okay, you're going to this recording art school. So that's just for singing and writing music and all
and
that?
Dancing.
And dancing.
Yeah,
okay.
All of it. Like, you have to do. And
that's a high school.
It's a college.
A college.
I mean, I guess over here it would be considered high school because I was 15 turning 16.
Right.
And it was a 2-year program, but which then you would go off to university. That's how it works in England. The difference between this performing arts school and any others that I loved was that it made sense. People mm-hmm. have always said, have a plan B, have a plan B. You know, you're in the performing arts world, you never know how it can go. Well, this school provided that. They said, if you're going to learn how to be on the stage and you're going to learn how to be off, and they would teach you mm-hmm. all of the skills on camera and off camera, and also in theater, on stage and behind stage. So you would learn also. I was like, well, I've got my plan B, you know, because
right.
that's what it is, you know, that's what the plan B should be. Like, I still want to work in the industry. Well, it lasted about a whole year, and then I ended up having to go to Miami and living with my mother again.
Okay.
And so,
by choice or by force?
Yeah, by force.
Or by force, okay.
But I was like, as long as I can get back into performing arts.
Doesn't matter. That was your salvation.
Always.
So that's been the through point for you. It's always been your salvation. I
love that. Absolutely. That is my heart. Like, right. I cannot live without it. So I went and I auditioned for that again. And I remember PM Dawn was playing when I went to go look at the school. I can't remember which song. Is It My Time? Da, 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 da. You know that one?
I don't know it.
Oh, so beautiful. And the dancers were dancing and I felt like, this is fame. Remember Fame?
Yes.
I was like, this is fame. I want to go to Fame. So I auditioned and I got into that school. So that was
That was the next step.
Yeah.
So after this school, did you finish school there?
I didn't.
You didn't? Okay.
I didn't.
So what's next?
Having a baby.
Oh my gosh. No way.
Yes.
So at what age did that happen?
17.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So, okay. You're an amazing woman. I already knew that, but that's really amazing.
Thank you.
The fact that you have made all your dreams come true and still are continuing to make them come true when you went through that kind of adversity at such a young age and had to really put your life second, I just bow down to you.
Thank you.
When you found out you were pregnant at 17, what's going through your head and how did you make your decision to, is it your daughter?
Yes.
Raise your daughter.
I believe I talked to God, to be honest.
Right.
It was just me and God. And I don't know, looking back, how I knew that would be what I needed. I have been raised in the church by my mom, but I said, well, this is the chance to really make and create my life. And I have a hashtag that says, sometimes I put up, create your world. Mm-hmm. So that was my time to create my world. And this person who was coming into the world was brand new. So I knew that I could give her this world that she only she would ever know about, and make it the greatest it could ever be. And I was like, and I'm going to have to be able to do this and still have my dreams come true too, because I would never want her to think that being a mother means that you let go of your dreams. Mm. So that was what I applied at the time. And I just said, this is what I'm going to be connected to, and I'm going to make sure that I do the best job I can for 21 years. I want to make sure that she is my priority. And so when she turned 21 last year, we did this photo shoot together.
Congratulations.
And I just felt super proud of her, super proud of myself, that 21 years that I committed to. I mean, of course I'm committed for the rest of her life, but that was what that was the decision I made at 17 years old.
Wow.
And did it. And she's incredible. She's a student constantly through school. She's at Loyola Marymount right now. She's a psychology major. She speaks Mandarin. She's a Mandarin Asian Pacifics minor. So she's totally fluent. She's a full-time actor as well. I don't know how she balances it out, but she does.
She had a pretty good example. I think that helped.
Thank you. But I'm very, very, very proud of her, who she has become, and of myself too. It's hard for me to get to that point to say, but yes, of myself too.
Yeah, you're so humble. I think I hope that in this next stage of your life, you're able to own that more.
Yeah,
because you deserve that. That's an incredible thing. I had no idea that you had a daughter at that age. And so the fact that you've done that and managed to do everything you do, like I let that hold me back a lot in my life. And I think a lot of women do, like, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I can't have a kid because I haven't achieved this. And then I don't want to like put it on them. And I get all crazy in my head. And I really do want a baby at some point. I'm 29 or 28. I keep thinking I'm already 29.
Don't do that in this industry. Hold it back another year.
Hold it back. But you know, you give me so much hope, because I'm like, well, maybe if I don't have every single thing figured out by the time I want to have a child, it's okay.
Well, an acting teacher told me that the best way to be the best actor is to live your life.
Right.
And the more life you live, the more you have to give.
Right.
You know, that I didn't mean to sound like I was rapping right there, but
the more life you live, the more you have to give. The more life you live, the more you have to give.
Yeah,
I love that.
But really,
yeah.
You know, and so it's just more enriched, and you never know what motherhood can give you. You never know, you know. And I mean, it gave me such positivity and made me feel like I felt like a superwoman after I gave birth to her, because I was just like, oh my gosh, I looked at everybody different in the world. I was just like, is that really how every woman has had a baby? Like, why is this so, like, mute? Nobody talks about what we go through. Like, this is crazy. Then the baby comes out and knows how to eat. Like, how is that possible? I was just like, this is an incredible thing that women do, and people should not dumb that down. Like, it's insane. I know I just went through something incredible, and I'm going to continue to be incredible, but this process has given me a whole new look at life, a whole new outlook. And I feel like, you know, you feel like that after every child you have. You know, I've had three, so I mean, you just, they give you a new birth mm-hmm. of life, and wow. let you see things through their eyes in completely different ways. So it's definitely a big growth, and I'm not telling you to go have a baby.
Yeah.
But
when
I'm
I want to, it will be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I keep thinking, like, I need to pop one out like the day before I turn 40. Like, that's the only way it can happen.
Yeah. But, take the pressure off.
Yeah.
Take the pressure off.
Exactly.
Let life happen, you know?
Yeah. Let's let it flow.
Yeah. Let it flow.
Yeah.
Let it go.
That one's for the kids.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. So you're 17. You've just had your child. You're in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Is the child's father in her life at
mm-hmm.
all? Okay, that's good. So you two are.
Oh, he was in her life.
Oh, he was, and then he
and
scurried.
Then he's not. Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
So, how did you get from Miami to LA with your baby? What was the process of that like?
Yes, because it was a process.
Mm-hmm.
I was working full-time as a runway model in Miami.
Wow.
And I wanted to make sure that I would be able to continue to, you know, basically financially take care of us, because I didn't have any child support. So it was just all me. And I came out. I went to LA Models. And I just said, you know, do you feel like I'm going to be able to make as much income here to support myself and my child? And they said, yeah. And I just for like maybe 6 months, I went between both coasts just to make sure I'm building up clientele and making sure that everything would be stable. I came out, I got an apartment, I made sure we were good. You know, we were in Studio City, which is like the place to be when you first come to LA.
Oh, yeah. I love the Valley.
And we had a fantastic apartment. It was great. And then I just I went back. I packed up the last little things in the car. We got in the car and we drove here.
Wow. Yeah. Did you know anyone here?
I did. I had a friend, a very good friend, who had been here, I guess, for about maybe 3 years, that had been in Miami, and we had been friends before. So, you know, she was there for me, but I didn't have any, like, close family or anything. It was really just like, I'm going to live my dream, and I've got my little daughter on my back. Like, let's go.
And how old was she at this point?
Five.
Five, okay. So when you had to go on an audition or a job, what would happen with her? Would some, you found a babysitter?
Yeah, she was she was in school most of the time. And yeah, I mean, I would just find a babysitter. You know, my brother did move out for a little while, and but he wasn't really very helpful as a babysitter. But he was there. I know. He was there. So it was, I guess, a good feeling to know that somebody's there.
Right. You
know?
Yeah. At least somebody who knows you and has your back on a base level, you know, because that is hard when you move to L.A., knowing who actually has your back versus who's just there as a friend, if you can help me.
Yeah, and that takes some time. You know, there's a lot of people here. And I think that people get turned off because it's not going to happen as quickly just because there's so many people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons to be here for short-term periods. So people aren't necessarily in a long-term friend frame of mind.
Right.
You know, so you just have to take your time and those people will come. You'll find them.
You know? Very true. So when you moved out here, you're mostly modeling. And I know you had a part on Bold and the Beautiful, which is what ultimately led to you doing The Price is Right, correct?
Yes. And I had done some acting in Miami, and I waited until I got my SAG card.
Okay.
And I'd, you know, done a couple films, and I'd done a telenovela. And so that's
fun.
When I... Right. So
when what I was that called?
Ocean Avenue.
Oh, my God.
I actually really loved my part. I mean, she was called Jade and she sang. And so, you know, I was a jazz singer.
That's a dream to combine the loves.
Yeah. So, I mean, I hope that one day that I can get it on a show that's not a telenovela.
Well, you're definitely on a good path right now.
That's where I'm trying to go. So, you know, just to get it back there. But no, I can't remember exactly what your question
was. Bold and the Beautiful, which led to The Price is Right. So how did that process happen?
Well, yeah, going out on auditions and, you know, same, like you were saying, as an actor. And I went out. It was an under five beach scene. I was wearing a bikini. So, of course, then that's easy to be like, oh, well, she could wear that over on this stage over here.
Right.
It was right next door. We share bathrooms at the time, and it's just right there. So one of the grips, who I still know who he is, and he, I still thank him to this day for it. And he went over and he said, you know, there's a girl that I think you guys should have over here, you know? And then that was it. Like, I went and auditioned. Kathy Greco was a producer at the time, a woman producer, which I was like, yes. And that was it. Like, I started up, and at the time, it was a lot of models. Mm-hmm. I think there was probably a rotation of about 12, and there's only three on at the time.
Okay.
And then as time went by, and then Drew Carey came in, then they cut it down, and there was only five models, including a male model.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. Got to get the guys in there.
Yeah. Got to keep it equal.
Yeah. Well, and you said before with Bob Barker, it was more, you're basically just there to be beautiful.
Yeah.
And once Drew Carey came in, per your suggestion, they made it more personality based.
Yeah. Well, per my suggestion, just, I guess, it talks with him, you know. I immediately had to show him my personality because I literally met him. I was like, hi, it's so nice to meet you, but I just got to let you know that I'm pregnant. So we don't need to go any further if you don't want to be next to a pregnant girl on the show. But he was like, really? And he was so excited and, you know, so supportive that I cried because I was really scared. You know, like before me, most girls would say I'm pregnant and then they would just know that that meant that you had a few months until you were showing and then it was kind of bye-bye, you know? So it really was a choice, like a personal or professional choice for me. Like I knew it could change. And he was so supportive that he said, how do you want to do it? How would you like me to introduce you? Do you want me to tell people? When do you want me to tell them? And all that. And he just really incorporated it into a part of the show. And I can't love him more for doing that. So supportive.
So when Bob Barker was there, do you think there's any chance that could have ever happened?
I mean, I can't talk for Bob Barker.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, yeah. I would hope that Bob could change and make it different, right. you know. But at the time, I honestly don't even know if it's Bob. I don't know if it was the producers at the time. Okay. I don't know if it's a collaboration of everybody, you know. But that was the way it was. And I stepped in and changed it.
Yes, you did. So what was, because you compared the two, there's a beautiful Fox article, which you should read if you haven't, which you had a nice interview in that really gives a great trajectory of your whole time on The Price is Right.
And thank you.
You went through and described the two different eras, the Bob Barker era and the Drew Carey era. If you had to compare the two, like, how would you describe the Bob Barker era versus the Drew Carey era, like, in a sentence? Or two.
Okay. I would say going from old age Hollywood to new age Hollywood mm-hmm. to newer age Hollywood, you know, opening up doors.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that that's enough.
No, I think so. It's just the way you described it made it seem like the way we would picture like the old timey, like kind of like more of the, not casting couch, I don't want to say, but like the vibes. Yeah. Those were kind of the vibes.
Yeah, kind of vibes. Yeah. But I never had any experiences like that. Bob Barker and I were great, you know, but yeah, had that kind of feel around it, you know. Yeah. And chauvinism for sure.
Right.
You know?
Now, did the female producer do anything to protect you ladies from that? Or was she kind of...
I think that she did what she could.
Okay.
You know, because she was probably dealing with her own, you know, ways of breaking, you know, glass, I guess you would say it, you know. Mm-hmm. And she was trying to get through. And I think she did the best she could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think about the movement that's going on right now? I did see you tweeted out about Me Too and Time's Up, which I think is amazing. But what do you think of the overall movement and how have you seen things change since you've been in Hollywood?
With the Me Too movement?
Well, how do you feel about the movement, but also just like your personal experiences of how things have changed for you and how you've even seen it with your daughter? Because she's in the industry now. How different it is for her.
I am loving how much confidence these millennials are having growing up. Feeling empowered, feeling able to say what they want to say. And at now it feels like they are being heard. And I think that that's the most, the greatest thing about it. That's what I think is the greatest thing is that they are actually getting to say what they're saying and being heard and things are being changed. And I think it's because women in the generation of us are able to actually really be open-minded enough to really hear it because we want that too. And we're able to give them the platform to be able to say it, you know, and prove it. I mean, I feel like it's been very courageous of all of the women to be able to express these stories that have gone on in their lives because you never, you know, you just never know what the outcome is and you never know if that's going to affect you professionally, you know? But I really feel, I feel so much more hope for it. I feel like this is just like, this is definitely the year of the woman. And I'm ready for it. You know, I feel like I've been a part of that. I'm going to continue to be a part of that. And letting girls know, you know, you have a voice. And you do not have to deal with things that you do not like. Say it. You know, don't hold back. Say it. And let it be heard. And if you didn't hear it, didn't get heard over here, go over here and get heard over there, you know?
Right.
I love that. So I definitely support it. All the way.
All the way. What did I want to ask you? There was something very important in my questions. So have you ever experienced, though, girl-on-girl crime? Because this is something we talk about on Maria's show a lot. I work on her serious show. And we talk about the women that either support these men or, like, are sexist in their own way and hurt other women. Have you experienced any of that in the industry?
I personally, nothing comes to mind immediately. I'm sure I have at some point, but I'm pretty sure that I've hindered certain things for myself because I've always been so very vocal. But
oh, really?
Yeah. If I don't like something, I say it.
No, that's great.
I mean, something comes to mind as you ask me that, but it wasn't really with a woman. It was with you know, a producer, and. You know, they're like, you know, hurry up, chop, chop, stop putting on your lipstick in the mirror. Like, excuse me, hold on one quick second there. Putting on lipstick in the mirror is actually part of this job. I mean, you know, when I'm outside of here, I don't ever wear makeup. You know, mm-hmm. I'm pretty natural, and I get on about my day, and I get to my kids' school, and I get to work. I mean, but when I'm here, I take my job seriously. Mm-hmm. So if you're not taking this job seriously that it needs for me to be able to put my lipstick on in the mirror, then we probably need to have another conversation, because I'm doing my best to give you the best of me to make this whole show look good, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think that after that conversation, that person looked very differently at my job and was like, okay, I respect it. That's a job and you're taking it seriously. Rather than it just being looked at as, oh, you're just a pretty girl running around here just having fun, you know? No, this is actually something I'm doing for a paycheck to make sure that I can take care of my family.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think it's interesting too, because we talked about this a little bit earlier, but the idea of like, it's a great opportunity. It's a great opportunity. Like, I think sometimes you can get trapped in your dreams in a weird way. Like, you're going on this track and like you were on The Price is Right for so long and it was such a great opportunity for you. But if you keep in that same box, then you may not have the chance to expand.
Exactly.
So how did you get to that point where you felt courageous enough to say, while this is a great opportunity, while I love my time here, I need to go in this other direction? What was a breaking point for you?
I started trying to like produce stuff. Right. I started taking meetings and trying to, you know, put things in. And I was like, you know what? I think I'm really seeing things very differently now. Mm-hmm. And it's time for me to go and feel confident about what I like and what I see and what I want to create, what I want to put together, and just fully dive in. I think turning 40 was a big deal for me. Wow. I was like, you know what? Life is not that long. It's short and it's happening right now. So let me do it right now, you know? And I know that I'll be supported. And I knew that nobody else had ever left Price is Right in a positive way, you know, the way that I was able to create that either. And I was very happy about the way I did that. And that it was lovable, you know, and I was able to connect to the audience and all of that.
Because there's a lot of people, not just in this industry, who want to leave their jobs or, I mean, a relationship, whatever it is, in a positive way.
Yeah.
What's your advice to them? What steps did you take to make sure that you kept that relationship intact?
I think that I always, communication is key to me in mm-hmm. any relationship, you know, and I'm quite a vibey person. So I feel like, you know, when someone's kind of maybe giving me a side eye or about to or whatever, I'm like, you know, let me just explain to you what's happening, what's going on, you know, mm-hmm. so that you know that it's clean, you know, that I'm not doing anything that could hurt you. You know,
right.
it's all something that can be supportive or supported, you mm-hmm. know. So I think that just making sure that you stay in communication. You know, more than
even
anything.
As you're looking for other opportunities.
Absolutely. I mean, you don't have to say every detail about what you're doing. But I think that if you're doing something that's positive, that at the end of the day is going to make their job look better because mm-hmm. you're doing something that's better, you know, for yourself.
Right.
I mean, it's a win-win because they end up feeling proud of you just like parents do when your kids go off and they're like, they went to that college and I knew they would get there. You know, it's kind of like that.
I love your parents' impression.
It was like an old white guy.
Good old white guy parents. Gotta love them.
Why I went to the old white American guy, I don't know. There's many characters inside of here.
There are. Yes, we're going to get to those.
I can do the Jamaican one.
Oh, yes,
yes,
please.
I am so proud of my daughter. I mean, she's doing so much these days. I didn't even think she could get there after having a child at 17, you know. I really didn't know how it was going to go. So I'm very proud of her.
Does your mom say that?
Yes. Finally.
Finally. Gosh, yeah.
Finally.
Did you feel like you had to prove yourself to her a lot over the years?
I don't think I was proving myself to her because I feel like from such a young age with all that was going on with my parents that I really just went into myself like, well, this is what I love to do and this is what I want to do and mm-hmm. I'm going to do it, you know, which is probably what ended me up being pregnant at 17. But the positive side is that I've always just been a very passionate person and I've never really felt like I needed, you know, someone to tell me it's, you know, you're doing well or a pat mm-hmm. on the back, you know. I just do it. I just do what feels good and I know I love it and I like it. So
honestly, too, just as you were saying this, I had this flash. And I feel like you've been even more successful because you had your child at such a young age, because she drove you.
She drove
me. You know, not to say that you wouldn't have been driven without her, but it's a different level of drive when you know you have to do it.
Absolutely.
If you're not just going to be disappointing yourself, you're going to be disappointing your baby.
Yeah.
Which is like...
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's like she probably kept me on the path that, you know, a clean mm-hmm. path. Because, mm-hmm. you know, there's definitely things going on in the industry where you're like, oh, that looks fun.
Yeah.
But you can't do it because you got to go to bed a good right. time to get up in the morning to go take them to school in the morning. And you can't feel all, you know, jacked up because yeah. of last night, you know.
Can't feel jazzy.
No, you can't feel jazzy in the morning. Jazzy needs to be done, you know. So,
sure. So you left Price is Right to really focus on producing, singing, acting, being the multi-hyphenate that you are. I know you've got Smith Entertainment Group. So what kind of content are you putting out with them? What have you put out in the past? What's happening in the future? Tell me it all.
Before we go there, though, I yeah. do want to say that please. I have had to learn to embrace my social media director over there. She's amazing. Nora told me I've got to embrace.
Embrace.
Yes. Being the longest running woman of color on the longest running daytime game show. So Ooh. That was also something that I had to embrace as a greatness in my life. And that also did help me make the decision to move on. I was like, I have really accomplished something here and I need to feel super, super about that, you know,
you
and
do.
Take that with me into the next thing, which we go into Smith Entertainment.
Well, yeah. And to comment on that, I think that is so important, especially because the people who watch those shows are mostly people in middle America. Like, I mean, I know my parents in Michigan, they love The Price is Right. My mom takes care of my grandma and all of her little helpers that help with my grandma love The Price is Right. They love game shows. So the impact that you have on those people cannot be underestimated, because maybe those people never get to see a person of color in their whole
Exactly.
day-to-day experience.
Exactly.
And the fact that they're getting to know you through their TV means they know somebody and they've got a positive association with it. And maybe when they meet someone in their real life, they're going to have a positive association with them because mm. they know you.
You just
so please
goosebumps.
Take that to heart. That
Thank
cannot
you.
Be underestimated. And it is so powerful
Thank
and
you.
So important.
Thank you. Thank you. I that's a whole nother thing I didn't even think of. I mean, I was told one time, you know, that... You know, when I was in hospital, Gwendolyn, it, you know, it was so daunting, the experience, but I would really look forward to 10 o'clock because I knew I'd get to see you up there and you're, mm. you know, you're just so vibrant and your smile and all that. And it would just really help my day to go better. And I was just like, wow, I really did not think that I had that much effect on people just by doing my little character job, you know, but it really helped me to see it, you know, in a bigger way. So thank
Absolutely.
You.
That's what this is all about, is entertainment in general, I think, is making people feel less alone.
Yes.
So the fact that you did that through Price is Right, but you continue to do that, that's huge.
Yes, and I was with the Champion Fund, which actually ended up getting dissolved, but it was the Los Angeles Children's Hospital. And I would go in and talk to teen moms and, you know, help them to realize that they can, you know, be loved and not feel alone and mm-hmm. feel good about themselves and not bad and all the things that come with shame,
Ugh.
You know, and get rid of the shame and recognize your greatnesses in yourself and glorify them. If you don't glorify them, your children won't either, because mm-hmm. they don't see it, because you don't see it.
Right.
So I've done that, and I want to find a new company. I'm looking now, because I loved doing that. I love helping them and letting them see a new light, a new day.
Right.
You know?
And just that they know that their dreams aren't over. Like,
Absolutely.
That it can be done. You're such a great example for them.
And I'm not going to say it's easy. It's
no.
not at all. But it's definitely
it's
something
so
that's
hard.
Possible.
Yes.
And, you know, just find it. Figure it out. See, you know, do the Pinterest. If you've got to do it on your phone, fine. But if not, you know, do the old-fashioned way where you actually see it in front of you. You know,
right. Make a dream board.
Yeah.
Hope is the most important thing.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, give them hope, because it can be done.
Yes.
They can just put a picture of you up and look at it and be like, she is my lady. My messiah.
That would be a little strange, but okay.
But, you know, like a dream board.
Definitely
Use
a
you
dream
as inspiration.
Board. Definitely.
So tell me about Smith Entertainment Group.
So Smith Entertainment Group has been going for a while, but, you know, Kenny and I have always been, you know, creative and, you know, let's do this, let's do that. Mm-hmm. Actually, when we first met in 2005, we we did Hurricane Katrina Relief Fund. Mm-hmm. And we
did
actually,
an event together, right?
Yes. And we actually ended up create $1 million. That it turned into NBA Cares. And that's when you would see, you know, Kobe holding the babies and all of that they were going through at the time. We got the players to spend $10,000 to actually play. So, like, we're not paying players. They're paying to play so that they can then see what we would go and do with that money and then come with us to the dome and help provide it for these people that were all stuck with no homes. And it was an incredible event. And so, you know, I guess that was the beginning of our creativity together of knowing what power we had.
Right.
So, you know, through that, through the years, you know, we ended up doing a car commercial, and we spun the car commercial to be like a reality show. And then we took it and we made that our sizzle reel. And then we made that into the first episode of Meet the Smiths. And that was our pilot. Wow. So then we were like, let's keep going. We've made it really easy for you, TBS. And so we were, you know, executive producing our own show. And we wanted to do it that way because we wanted to protect our children. We wanted it to be comedy.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted it to show value, family values. Love, there's still drama in there. We know that. But it doesn't have to go all the way down under the table and, you know, glasses crashing and everything. So it showed real life.
Yeah.
And real love and fun. So that was that. Then it went into, oh, let's have a meeting with ITV. And David Eilenberg was actually the person who helped put our show on TBS, and he ended up working at ITV. And that's pretty much it. That's history. We work with David over there a lot. You know, he's very hands-on. He's helping with the four right now, so he is constantly working. And he believed in him and Brent Montgomery, who is the CEO of ITV America. They ended up having a meeting with both of us. They wanted to make sure that it wasn't just, oh, we love Kenny and we love basketball and we're guys. You
right.
know, that meant a lot to me. I was like, if you guys want to work with me, then you need to know me.
Right.
You know, you need to, do you like me? And so I had to come up with my own pitches and I had to tell my ideas and what I thought I was about and what I thought, you know, us together were contributing and how I felt like it was a good balance.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when they were like, you know what? We don't want to just do a show with you. We want to actually work with you. So come on over to ITV and let's do this. So we got our deal there. And, you know, we're about to go into our second year.
So you're in a development deal, right? A multi-year
yeah.
development deal. So what does that entail?
It means that you are given the people and the needs of creating shows at your fingertips. You can, you know, we can do all of our, it's like basically like paying for your mind.
Good. I got to get one of those.
Yeah. They're, you know, we love your mind. We love what it creates. So just sit in your office and keep doing that. And then when you need the next step of whatever it may be, then you can go on to the next step and we can help you do that. And then, you know, when you get to the networks and you have your meetings and then it's a machine.
Mm-hmm.
That's been given to you. So rather than being this production company that's then saying, oh, well, I've got to hire this for that and this, you know, individual contractors, now it's all in-house and it just makes things a lot easier.
So are there any specific ideas that you know are going to come to fruition or anything you can tease?
Just the right now, I can just say the late night snack is coming out.
The late night snack.
On True TV. Yes.
So what will that involve?
It's involves narration and it's stories about Kenny in the 90s when he was playing. So it's throwback and, you know, who he dealt with, funny stories of what happened at that time. It goes into sketch comedy and it also goes into animation. So it's got a lot of different things going on there, but it's definitely funny.
And you'll be doing some of the sketch comedy?
Yes.
Yay. So we get to see some of these great characters.
Yes.
And you say you want to bring a fresh take to television. What does that mean?
I want to bring constant, I mean, I'm here as female empowerment. You know, we just
yes.
had that conversation. So it's definitely about inspiring, continuing to inspire, you know, through mm-hmm. what you saw on Meet the Smiths. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the same kind of television. I want to make sure that you can still see all of the emotions that happen,
mm-hmm.
but bring it back in a more positive way. And, you know, we have some stuff going on that's very interesting That is, I was like,
we had a little
noise right there.
A little sound fun.
Yeah.
Some stuff that's going on that's very interesting.
So, you know, we love to work with experts in their fields and create a situation around them that's very believable. And, you know, once again, keep it positive and believable. I'm very into diversity.
Yes.
So that is a very big deal for me.
Good.
You know, Meghan Markle said it. You know, in England they say mixed race, and in America they call you black. So I have always struggled with that because I never want to feel like I'm not white, you know?
It's not fair, first of all.
And then I'm like, if I call myself black, then what happens to the white side? And do my friends feel like I don't want to be white either? Like, I'm both. I am very both, you know? And I feel really good about that. And I think that, you know, that should be, I'm part of the movement of being confident in that, of being a very mixed race, multicultured woman. And I think the world is going that way, you know, and it's about, at the end of the day, about being a great human being, you know.
That is the most important thing. Yeah. I mean, to obviously we're coming upon MLK Day and it's all about transcending all barriers and focusing on the love.
Absolutely.
But just being who you are. Why do we have to put anyone in any boxes? You know?
Absolutely. I'm not trying to be in a box. I am breaking out.
Yeah. You've broken the box.
Boom. Out the box.
Yeah, you are. That's right. I did have a question about that. That's interesting you brought it up. I said I wanted to see what the difference between the racial tensions in America versus the racial tensions overseas, but you kind of answered that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I know now that I went through a lot that I didn't realize was actually racist. Mm-hmm. I didn't know. I'm like, I mean, honestly, I was calling myself half-caste, not knowing that that was actually a degrading term. Half caste is what they would call it. And that is so degrading. But I didn't realize, I mean, people were calling me that, like that's how they described me. And I just took it on like that's what I am. But until my mother was like, oh, no, 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 no. You know, you can call yourself mixed race when you're in America. Know that people call you black here. This is what it is. I remember, you know, when I filled out a form for the first time as a child over here to do a school, I guess, you know, you have to tick the box, which I had never done before in England. They don't have that. And I put other because I was like, well, I'm not black and I'm not white and I'm not Indian and I'm not Asian. So I'm just going to put other.
Which is fair.
Well, that was the first time I got a good slap across my head. My mom said, you cannot be confused when you're in America. Right over here, you're called black. So you better know and embrace it. Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah. Ooh, I could talk with you about that for like another hour. I'm hearing that are we having to wrap up, Marissa? Is that what I'm seeing or no? I saw 5 minutes before. Oh, okay, there we go.
Oh,
that's okay. our friend Anthony speaking.
Hi, Anthony.
He's our engineer.
Hello,
welcome.
Everybody.
We are behind the scenes right now.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
And I'm trying to imagine what Anthony looks like because I haven't met him yet.
No, yeah. He's a strapping young Italian man, I believe. Am I right, Anthony?
Close. I'm Mexican.
Okay, Mexican.
I think I could pass as Italian.
I thought you were paisan. I'm Italian. I guess I was just being egotistical in that moment. So I know you're working on an album, right? I'm like, back to the questions.
Anthony, you're gonna have to come up with something, you know, because now are you a strapping Mexican? So we have to figure that out.
A strapping Mexican. I would say he's a strapping young Mexican man.
Yeah?
Yeah. Anthony, how do you feel about that?
I don't disagree.
Okay.
Okay.
See?
Yeah,
like
all right.
We got Anthony on board.
Okay.
Praise Jesus. So, okay. Back to all this stuff, though. I do have a question because I thought we were like lower on time. So now that I know we've got a little bit more time to luxuriate in, would you ever consider doing a show that involves what you're talking about earlier with moms and like the amazing process of giving birth and how it's not spoken about?
I hadn't until you said it. Sounds good.
You know? Because I feel like they're speaking of shame, even with mothers who have their kids when they're not 17, there's so much weird shame and mom shaming. That's a huge thing in our culture right now, and guilt and feeling like you're never enough when you're a mother.
Yeah.
And I think it would be a really interesting subject to breach on television. I don't know how you do it, but
I was just interested to see what you thought.
Put it in the wheelhouse.
It's a pitch.
It is. I see. I'm going to go write that down. Yeah. But yeah, maybe one day, you know, I haven't gotten to that point. I mean, right now I'm, you know, thinking of creating a show that's about women that are working mothers, whether mm-hmm. they're single mothers or they're married. But it's about always trying to make sure that you're seen and you're heard, you mm-hmm. know, and you're. That people can see, look at this woman. She's no matter who she's married to, whatever she's doing, she is still making sure that she's getting her own stuff done.
And what is your advice to working mothers?
My first advice, it always is, which I learned not that long ago, because I was, you know, always like this little hamster going around. don't try to reach the destination of balance. It's never going to happen.
Yeah, balance is a myth.
Yes, you're never going to. Well, you're constantly balancing. Mm-hmm. So just as long as you can see yourself constantly balancing, then you are being successful. And then that will allow you to pat yourself on the back and give yourself a break mm-hmm. and recognize, you know, look, you know what? I did get up today and I did actually eat myself as well as have my children eat. I did mm-hmm. get them dressed. Did they brush their teeth? Not sure. But if they did or they didn't, we did everything else. You know, there's so much that comes with being a mother, you know, right. like that we forget to look at all of those details. And so just look at it as you're balancing. As long as you're balancing, mm-hmm. you're doing a great job.
And not forgetting self-care.
Absolutely.
I love that scene from your reality show. I watched a clip where you go into the closet and you scream expletives.
Let me tell you, yeah. I fought for that scene, okay? They did not want to do that scene. They were why would we ever do that? Why would we ever show a mom doing that? I'm like, because every mother does it.
Yeah.
I was like, this needs to be in there. Like, it really does. And they were like, but they were scared because it was me cursing. And,
you know, they think it would paint you in a bad light, or were they just scared
TBS
for the network?
TBS is just, okay. yes, very Got clean. It. And, you know, and I was like, well, we can just make, people will know what I'm saying without hearing it. I'm pretty sure they will.
Yeah.
And yeah, it I came did. Across really, it came across really the way I wanted it to. So I was very happy that was in there.
Yeah, I was logging that. I'm like, someday when I have kids, I'm going to log the old closet trick.
Yeah, man.
Right in the old
noggin. Through it sometimes, you know, as I was in my robe, you're not always dressed to just go outside and go for a walk if you need right. to, or get in your car and drive away. So you got to figure out a place that you can go that's still safe in your home if you got your robe on.
Right. And sometimes you literally can't because you got the kids downstairs.
Exactly.
Got to take a quick trip to the closet, then come right back down and deal with them.
Exactly.
So you've got all this great juicy TV stuff going. Now we're finally getting back to the little girl who was singing Tomorrow when she was yes. 5. Tell me about this album.
Yes. I have been working with multiple producers over the time. And, you know, now I'm finding my right people mm-hmm. and just making sure that I can make it a story. You know, yes. it has to make sense. It has to make sense to the right audience. And that's pretty much it. I've been working with some great people. That's all I can say about it. And I'm very excited about it.
Are you writing on the album?
Yes.
You are?
Yeah. And I collab with others as well. Okay. I do actually better collabing with others. So.
I think most or many people at least do.
Yeah.
Co-writing is such a beautiful process because yeah. you get the best of both worlds, and especially when you get to collaborate with someone who has like skills where you have weaknesses and vice versa.
Exactly.
It's so helpful.
Exactly.
So is there, I know you said that's all you can say right now, but is there anything you can tease about the overarching subjects you'll be writing about and singing about?
Well, it's definitely to do with being a woman, a mother, a wife mm-hmm. and life.
Right.
You know, and how you figure it all out. You know, how do you do that? But it's also about love. Yeah, it's about sexy moments, too.
Love sexy moments.
Yeah, for sure.
And you and your hubby, you've been together since 2005, did you say, or 2006?
We've been married since 2006.
Okay. What's the key to having such a beautiful, long marriage in this crazy town, but in the world in general? What's the key to that?
I would just say, with us, for sure, it's about respecting each other's creative differences. Mm-hmm. You know, he's very different, and he's been working for a long time before me, you know, and same here. I was working, you know, the way that I was before him. So we have to respect each other's processes, that they're different, and make sure that when we go home and we're with the kids, it's about that. It's about being with them and paying attention to their mm-hmm. needs and their wants.
So, yeah. How do you do that, though, when you work together? Because I fear that if I was in your position, I'd never be able to shut off my work brain. How do you shut off your work brain when you come home?
I take ibuprofen PM.
That is a good tip.
I mean, I also, you know, I do other things and yeah. medicate myself. I mean, I glass of wine, that's still bad. But I, wine definitely helps. Wine, I mean, helps. Kelly Clarkson was just saying the other day, she's like, wine, wine, wine. And I meditate. I have like different apps on my phone.
Okay. And which ones do you recommend?
There's Headspace. I'm in love with Headspace right now. And so I've been using that. There's an iChill app that's very good. I work out too. Like working out for me is something that keeps me in that balancing zone.
Right.
You know, because then I don't really love the motivation to go do it. But I know that once I do it, I feel really good when I'm doing it and I feel really good when I'm done. So that's definitely a part of it too.
Those are some good tips. So wine, workout. PM, what was it? Advil PM?
Ibuprofen PM.
That's a trifecta.
It is.
It's a, okay.
It works.
Got it. You're giving me some great information for the future. I love this. Is there anything else that we're missing? Anything else you want to highlight that's coming up for you that the people need to know?
Just keep a lookout. You know, I'm constantly, you know, on Instagram and, you know, there's fun times going on.
There are certainly fun times. And you're at Mrs. Gwenny, G-W-E-N-N-I-E Smith, on all social platforms.
Yes.
So we have to check her out there.
Yes. I'm very excited about Meghan Markle going into the royal family.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, how does that feel to you? And what does it mean to you as somebody who's both American and we would say British, right?
Yeah.
British.
Oh, I couldn't be more elated. I'm waiting for my invitation in the mail. Like,
know her?
I don't. I wish I did. I'm sure I could find a way to know her since she was a Deal or No Deal girl.
My gosh, it's so crazy. So you're probably working right next to each other.
Yeah. And, you know, she knows quite a few people that I know. So, I mean, that would be really nice. It makes me feel like the full circle we were talking about, you know, because I wouldn't have ever imagined, honestly, that there would be a mixed race girl in the royal family. And it's amazing. I love Harry more. I mean, I thought he was a cute guy before, you know, anyway.
Yeah, but he really turned hair, into something.
Woo! Ooh. Yes. Now I'm like, oh, you like sisters, Harry. Okay. The fact that she's an actress and he could be open to that, that she's an artist, you know, like, I'm in love with that.
And she's divorced, so it's not like, you know, I feel like the royal family is all about like clean cut, has to be perfectly packaged. And she's a real person.
Absolutely.
Beyond everything else.
She's lived a life.
Yeah.
She was already helping out, you know, with philanthropy for, you know, people in Africa. She had gone over. She'd helped with water, making sure that there was running water in villages. That's clearly a passion that she had and that he was like, this fits. You know, you are a full, complete person. You've actually lived a life. So I'm not taking 50% of a person that's coming into this huge life over here. You are 100% of a person adding to mine. It's a beautiful thing. And the fact that she has, you know, been a divorcee and that they are breaking
boundaries.
I'm just loving it. Loving
it. Well, you're breaking boundaries too.
Thank you.
And I've really appreciated this time. I admire you a lot. I've learned a lot from sitting here. I hope our audience has as well. And I can't wait to see what's to come.
Thank
all the beautiful
you.
Television and your album. And remember, everybody, follow her at Mrs. Gwenny Smith on all social platforms. Be on the lookout for a late night snack that's coming out at the end of January, you said?
Yes, on True TV.
On True TV, so check that out. And in the meantime, I think we're about to wrap this up here.
Yeah.
Thank you again for everything.
Thank you.
Really appreciate you. I'm at Lauren LaGrasso. That's not my real legal name, but that's where you can find me on the internet. So definitely catch up with me there. And check out Mrs. Gwenny Smith. She's a great lady.
Thank you.
Thank you.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.